My name is Larry Rosen, and I'm here on behalf of the respondent, Jennifer Sofsky Vandesand. As you well know, this is a case under the Hague Convention. It's a situation where we have a family living in Belgium. The affidavit showed what was happening in Belgium. The petitioner here was beating the mother, choking her, smacking her, blooding her in front of the kids.
Mr. Rosen, I want to stop you right there because there is a procedural question that interests me about this case. Many of the other courts that have had convention cases do not appear to have gone through something like a summary judgment procedure, and I'm not sure why it happened that way here, because this is not an area in which I would have thought in 1791 juries would have been deciding matters. It certainly is an area where prompt decisions, quick resolution of disputed issues of fact is at a premium. That's one of the things the convention stresses. And one of the arguments you make is, well, there are disputed issues of fact. You know, Jennifer says this, Davy says that. And I don't see why the correct procedure isn't really for the district court promptly simply to hold a hearing, make Rule 52 findings of fact, and resolve this. And I read what he's saying here as trying to say, even assuming everything Jennifer says is true, there isn't enough that focuses on abuse to the children in particular, the derivative abuse, assuming for the sake of argument that all of her affidavits are correct, isn't enough, and so that then he goes on. But I really don't think he did it procedurally in the correct way.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, Your Honor. In my opinion, the way this should have been handled was we should have convened a hearing, we should have had live testimony, we should have had a judge or someone hear the testimony from the mother and the others who would witness the violence, possibly even the testimony of the 3.5-year-old girl here, although I understand that can create problems.
But he had a lot of what I'll call kind of objective testimony in front, or you know, evidence, not testimony, in front of him from the father, such as the information about the teachers in Belgium and the information that the Belgian police didn't have any record of the call. And all of that, I think, persuaded him that the degree of risk that would be experienced by these children by returning them to Belgium to resolve these matters, which is what the convention prefers, was low enough that you could do that. And anything else that needed to be done, whether it was for the protection of the children or for custody issues or all of the rest, is properly done in Belgium.
Well, but you had here two competing sets of affidavits, if you will, Judge.
But what? Suppose, though, her story just isn't good enough. Suppose her story is all about, I know it isn't, you know, but I'm just saying, suppose it's only about abuse to her. And the judge says, that's legally insufficient. Why do you need a hearing?
Well, but that's not what our affidavit showed, Your Honor.
I know. You have, yes, like one statement from him where he says, well, if I can't have them, then I'm going to kill them. And he has,
right,
the beating of Caitlin,
right,
for the urinary problems and so on. But
right. And
but that's not very much. I didn't see too much about the younger child.
Well, actually, we had evidence of the children having witnessed what Davy was doing to the mother here. You know, we have evidence that she was being beaten on a daily basis. We have evidence that she was being choked. We have evidence of the verbal abuse that he was directing towards her. And we had evidence that he was encouraging the children to engage in the same type of verbal abuse towards the mother.
Why wouldn't something more consistent with the convention be what many other courts do, which is to ensure that upon return to Belgium, the children are safe? I mean, there are undertakings in all sorts of these cases where you return the child to the country of residence, but there are various undertakings given.
Well, first of all, I just want to add one other thing. The key thing is, though, is that what the judge what he seemed to ignore was that all of this violence towards the mother was happening in the children's presence, and they were reacting to it. They were crying. They were begging the father to stop. They were doing all types of things. And we had shown in the briefs and to the court that other courts and other experts that have looked at that says it's psychologically abusive to the children to witness one parent that doing that to another, because there are really two aspects of this.
But I was unclear. So what would happen? They go back. Suppose we affirm. So the children go back, and they then put in his custody,
right?
Then what? Does she traipse after them and what? File a complaint? Is there an ongoing proceeding in the Belgian?
Well, there is an ongoing proceeding now in Belgium.
Pardon?
There is an ongoing proceeding in Belgium, and we're essentially saying this is not a custody dispute here. This is simply.
So you'd have to go to Belgium.
Or he could have come here.
Under the convention, we affirm. So the kids go back into this den with him and his mother. He's like psycho or something. And then. And then what? So the mother goes and what, files a complaint with the Belgian police or files something in the Belgian proceeding or what? What was the procedure?
One of the problems is we never were able to explore that possibility at the trial level, because all of it really was essentially asserted was Belgium has child protection laws, just like the United States does. And therefore, he has the burden, that I have the burden to show, according to the argument below, that Belgium wouldn't do anything to protect the
children. Well, no, but surely, those rules about this notion of, well, if the foreign country has laws, that can't be what this means. This is the most, under-enforced law in all countries.
Right.
So it must be that there are procedures which she could invoke which would somehow get these kids out of the custody of the father.
Well, I'm assuming there is. I quite frankly don't know enough about.
But you say that was not explored.
I think given the situation,
it's not in the district court's order at a minimum, right?
No. All the district court says is the only condition I'm going to set is he's got to pay the airfare back. That was it.
That's the only.
That was the only condition that was imposed here. Pardon me?
Save yourself a rebuttal.
Oh, I'm sorry. I will save myself a rebuttal.
Okay, Mr. Boyer.
Good morning, Your Honors. On behalf of Davy Van de Sant, who is present in court, there is no question at all in this case that Jennifer's unilateral decision to bar these children from returning to their habitual residence in Belgium was a wrongful abduction.
No, we know that. We're on 13B here, and I think the problem I have is similar to what Judge Posner was saying a moment ago. If you read the district court's opinion, it looks like all you need to do is get a copy of the statute books of whatever the country is that would be the habitual residence country, and if they have child protection laws, then you send the children back. But, of course, that's not true. That's not what the other courts of appeals have said. They have even looked at the Friedrich II decision and noted that there is a feasibility point in there. If, and I'm not saying it's this case, but if there were a case where there was strong evidence that children were being sexually abused on a daily basis by their father, you wouldn't say, oh, well, they've got courts in Belgium. Sooner or later, they'll catch up with him, and send the kids back to his custody. That's certainly, no court has done that. Friedrich II doesn't do that. Friedrich II is this vague, the children like it here in Ohio kind of testimony. And we don't have that case at all. So I think the question is really, how serious a showing of harm to the children is necessary to satisfy the 13B defense? What kinds of procedures need to be used to resolve that issue? And were the correct procedures used here to resolve that issue? And I would say third, was the district judge mistaken to think that it was an all-or-nothing proposition? He doesn't appear to discuss the idea of any kinds of undertakings, and I've actually looked at what some other countries' courts have done, too, in this convention, and undertakings are a very common way of trying to make sure that the forum shopping that the convention is concerned about doesn't happen, so you go, in this instance, back to Belgium, but on the other hand, you protect the children at the same time.
You've packed a great deal into
Sorry.
Your question, and I'll
you
try and pick out pieces
part
of it.
You like.
Let me start with the question of procedure, since that's where you began with Mr. Rosen. There is nothing in Rule 56 that mandates an evidentiary hearing. Indeed, in the case of March versus Levine in the Sixth Circuit, the court explicitly endorsed reviewing this case, given the expedited nature of proceedings under the convention, through the taking of affidavits and other kinds of
documentary
evidence.
Yeah, I know, but if the affidavits...
If you believed every word in these affidavits, including threats of killing, then it's pretty hard to see why you would send the children back.
I respectfully disagree, Your Honor, which
It's okay for the father to threaten to kill a child, and then you give the children into that person's... I'm not saying I believe that or anything, but, you know, if you did believe that, you're thinking you should send the children back to that parent?
That specific remark, the attestation in Jennifer's affidavit, was that in the course of her having just informed Davy that she was neither going to return to Belgium herself nor allow his children to return, that he made a hot-headed statement. I don't think that that alone, respectfully disagree,
that's
a basis to deny him custody.
I must say, I find that incomprehensible. If all we have is the affidavits, and we have to take them, you know, as true, because we don't have any oral testimony or anything, you can't entrust children to someone who's threatened to kill them and say, oh, well, it's just a hot-headed remark, especially when, if you read the affidavits, your client is a lunatic of some sort, right? He's a lunatic. He's completely out of control.
I would not endorse that, but I understand the point you're making.
Well, look at what he says, look at what he does, what he says in front of the, you know, the webcast, and put it all together. It's a picture. And his mother beating the child like that, it's a person you would, you know, it's like DeShaney. You would be wholly irresponsible to entrust him with the custody of these children for 5 minutes. Now, that's why I was asking Mr. Rosen, would they actually go back to Belgium and be in his custody until she got there and filed something with the police or with the court that had this custody proceeding?
I can't answer that question, though. It's not a matter that was treated in the record below. There is a proceeding that would be open to Jennifer in Belgium through their juvenile court, which is a part of the... It's the same court that issued the order of exclusive custody, and that, of course, was done because Jennifer was here in the United States and not in a position to contest that. So the answer, I think, is that she would have the opportunity to raise her allegations that Davy has been abusive to her and whatever else she wants to present regarding the children, and use that as a basis for trying to modify the custody order. That is my understanding. I'm not an expert in Belgium law, but I do believe that that understanding is fully consistent with the basic nature of this convention. It is a venue treaty. It is a treaty that is designed to determine where is the appropriate forum for resolving
disputes.
You're
not an expert in Belgian law, neither is the judge, so that means that what actually happens to these kids is extremely uncertain.
Well, I don't disagree, Your Honor, that if you look at the cases that have dealt with similar allegations of grave risk, it is not uncommon for district courts and even on occasion appellate courts to require undertaking, something that would provide some assurance as to the safety of the children.
And what would you suggest?
Well, for example, in other cases where there have been questions about the possibility of criminal prosecution.
What would you suggest
in this case? In this case, I don't know that it is appropriate for any court to modify the custody order absent the opportunity for a hearing. So I could suggest that Davy cooperate with a custody hearing, which I don't think is really an undertaking on his part. It's not something that would be within his control.
I know what you're talking about now. I'm completely lost. I was asking you specifically, what condition should the district judge place on this on his return of the kids.
Well, and I would just add to that, even in the face of the Belgian court's custody order, which appears to have been ex parte, it wouldn't prevent Mr. Van de Sand from agreeing to anything. I mean, he could agree to have a third party caretaker for a while for the children or whatever he wanted to.
Of course, and I think that depending on just how concerned the district court was, undertakings might include provisions regarding the transportation of the children home, something other than simply saying that the father should be responsible for payment. What should happen on a temporary basis?
Now it becomes even, I think, more absurd. So here the kids are living with their mother. Now the idea is they'll be sent back to Belgium and be put in an institution of some sort while the custody issue is resolved?
Your Honor, she abducted these children. She abducted the children, and she's kept them here apart from their father for a year. If she had stayed in Belgium and raised these allegations where they belonged in Belgium, they would have played out as expected in some counterpart to
that
the juvenile or family court here.
That's not responsive to my question. The question is what to do now.
Your Honor, it's difficult for me to suggest what undertakings
right.
the district court.
You're not being helpful. You obviously haven't thought about this. You thought it was fine. Send him back with the father and the grandmother and see what happens.
To respond to your question, Your Honor, I think the only undertaking that would really meaningfully address the concerns that arise, assuming all of Jennifer's allegations to be true, would be to enter a custody order temporarily.
Why do you put it that way?
Because your concern is about the...
Don't we have to assume?
Well, you have to take the things that she says is true.
Not an if.
So you could, the only condition I believe that would directly respond to the concern that you raised would be something that would temporarily remove custody of these children from Davy. And other than assuring that there is some opportunity for the Belgian court to review all of the testimony and evidence.
Remove their custody to whom? To where?
Well, that's the problem, because the convention doesn't contemplate the district court making judgments about custody.
Then it sounds like a good case to say, you know, can't send them back. Because there's nothing to do with them in Belgium except give them to the abusive father.
Well,
at a minimum, say we need to have a resolution of these contested facts, because if one were to go on to a proceeding where everything was settled, you wouldn't be in the position of having to take as a given every word
right.
in the affidavits. I'm certain that Mr. Van de Sand contests this. I mean, you've said that in your brief. These are contested issues of fact. And if you went on and had a hearing and maybe found out that none of it was true, or maybe found out that, you know, whatever happened as a result of the hearing, you'd be in a far different posture.
Respectfully, Your Honor, I think that the suggestions that both you and Judge Posner are making essentially would undermine the force of what the court in Friedrich and each of the progeny following Friedrich have said, which is that under the convention, there is a presumption that we respect the sovereign authority of participants in the treaty and their ability to deal with the kinds of allegations that Jennifer has raised. There has been no showing, attempt.
I must say, I find those opinions very unsatisfactory. They're very broad brush. And they don't address the very concrete situation that it's not enough to send children to a country that has laws that are fine on the books. You have to know exactly what measures are available to protect the children while the issue of abuse is resolved. And the more serious the allegations, the more focus has to be directed on what concretely will be done. I would be very uncomfortable to think of these children being put in his custody until this matter is done. Of course, as Judge Wood said, maybe these affidavits are all phony, and if there were a hearing, we'd realize he was a perfectly competent father. But at this stage, assuming the opposite, you don't seem to have any Belgian solution to this problem. It's obviously easy to leave the kids with a mother in the United States, but you don't have any Belgian solution.
If I could just make one brief observation, Your Honor, I know my time has expired,
but in
response to that concern, it is very clear under the federal implementing law that the burden to demonstrate what the problem is rests with the respondent. And again, I believe that and the Friedrich decision
it's
and its progeny.
It's obvious what the problem is.
I recognize your concern.
Perfectly obvious.
I recognize your concern. But again, Your Honors, in conclusion, I would simply say I believe these children are habitual residents of Belgium, and it's a matter that should be left
to
Belgian authorities.
One of them, of course, is a U.S. citizen.
Well, they are habitual residents, which is the operative question under the statute. And under the circumstances, I would ask that the district court be affirmed.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you very much, Mr.
Thank you,
Boyer.
Honor.
Mr. Rosen, how much time does he have? 3 minutes?
Do you have any questions for me? I have no rebuttal. I learned early on, sometimes it's just
better. Meaning you've already heard the rebuttal.
Well, that's precisely right. Sometimes it's just better to keep your mouth shut.
Thank you very much to both counsel.
Thank you.
Next case for argument, United States versus